to 2 Corinthians and chapter 6. And let us read at the beginning of the chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Particularly the words, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now God has made us all different, and he has made all ministers different, and even each minister's ministry has its own characteristics. And each minister is often remembered for certain things, perhaps things they may be referred to as his hobby horses, things which God has particularly laid upon that minister's mind in order that he might bring these things to the fore again and again in his ministry. Now, I'm sure that applies to me as much, if not more, than to most ministers, because I know that there are certain themes which I am continually coming back to, certain phrases that I am continually laboring. And I think that one of these would most certainly be the phrase, the significance of the present moment. You've heard it time and time and time again, this emphasis. I emphasize it because I believe in it passionately. I do really believe that this is something of the greatest importance to every human being, that they realize that it is not the time that has passed that matters, nor is it the future time. The time of greatest importance is this very present moment, this now. It is never far from me, and the nearer it is to me, and the nearer I am to it, to the significance of the present moment, and realizing that fully, the more right my whole life is. This is something of great importance. There is a tendency for us, especially when it comes to things to do with ourselves, and especially to do with our spiritual destiny, a tendency to either talk about the past and think about the past, or to think about the future. Either to look back and look at many things that we regret, or else to look to the future and perhaps dream of what we want to be and what we intend to be. But to concentrate on the present moment is in fact something which requires a great deal of effort and a great deal of concentration, and it is something in which we are opposed and we are resisted because Satan is at work. When you start thinking about the present moment, then you can be sure of this, that Satan will spring to action and divert you from thinking about that. He'll throw you into the time before or the time after. He doesn't want you to think deeply about the present moment. Very often, any conversations about the present are to do with country or the nation or society, never about our own personal destiny. And yet, there is no doubt whatsoever in my mind that this is one of the most significant and important things that we can get into ourselves. How I would love to burn it into your minds. The great significance of this present moment. What is at this present moment? What is the relationship between you and God? Forgetting the past or the future, what is it now? Is it peace? Or is it not? Is it friendship? Or is it not? Is the relationship one of union, really being united to God through Jesus Christ? A real relationship of oneness with God? Or is it something else? Is it one of distance? Is it one specifically of an arm's length distance, where perhaps you don't want God to be too far from you, but not too involved in your life, not interfering, not ruling, not being truly God in your life? Now, firstly, I want to emphasize this, especially today on a New Year's Day, that the emphasis of the Bible in this matter is absolutely unmistakable. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now we have some amazing things in the book of Ezekiel. If you look at Ezekiel chapter 18, for example, where the emphasis on this is actually startling. It's scary sometimes to read it. Where it says with the utmost clarity, again and again, and it says, if the righteous man turn from his righteousness, then all the righteousness he has done will not be remembered, because he has turned away from it. And he has turned to evil. And on the other hand, if the wicked man turn from his wickedness to righteousness, then all of the wickedness he has done will not be remembered. God has promised to those who turn unto him, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember them no more. Elsewhere he says, I will blot them out. The important thing is, where are you at this moment? Now, today, this is the moment. This is the time for action. This is the time for decision. It is the time for choice. Joshua said to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. This day, not tomorrow. There may not be tomorrow, but this day. Even this New Year's Day. And he goes on and he says, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. He puts the choice before them. Whatever we do, we must not put confidence in ourselves by way of making promises. If you know yourself well enough at all, then if you are honest with yourself, you will admit freely that the promises that you have made to yourself in the past have not been kept. My friend, please, don't make promises. Don't depend on yourself into the future. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. God's time is always now. It is now, now, now. This day, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, I hope you're beginning to see the overwhelming importance of the present moment. Don't go away and say, well, that's him on his thing again. That's him on his theme again. Because this is not just my thing. This is what the Bible says. And it is unmistakable. The present moment, January 1st, 2012. This is it, my friend. The most important moment in your life. And I say to you, now seek God and do not be sidetracked, because I can guarantee you that there is an enemy, and he is your enemy, the enemy of human beings, who would draw them all to destruction. And he is at work, and he is earnestly and determinedly at work to draw you away from thoughts of the present moment and how you stand with God. So it is a clear biblical emphasis. It is not just my thing. So secondly, what does the accepted time mean? Now, it is very interesting if we look a wee bit deeper into this. In verse 1, we read these words. Paul says that he beseeches, we beseech you that also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. What does that mean? Well, what we have in verse 2, it says there, for he saith, I have heard thee in an accepted time, in the day of salvation have I succored thee, and so on. And it begins with the word for. So there is a connection between what Paul says in verse 1 and the quotation from the Old Testament, from Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8, which we have in the words that begin the second verse. There is a connection, because it says in Isaiah 49 and verse 8, I have heard thee in an accepted time. Now the interesting thing is this, that when we look at the original language, we find something extremely interesting. That word accepted is grace. Grace. Favor. What does that mean? It means that this is the time of God's grace. Time of God's favor. Isn't that wonderful? Is it not a wonderful thought that God favors human beings, that God favors sinners? How does he favor them? He favors them in that he draws near to them. We read in Isaiah chapter 55 these words: seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. God draws near to sinners in favor, in grace. Now is the accepted time. Now is the time of God's grace. Drawing near to those who are turned against him, to those who hold him far from them, he draws near in grace. This is that time, the accepted time. Now, is this talking about saving grace? Well, the answer is clearly no, because it is impossible for God, having once given his saving grace, to take it away. And Paul speaks here about receiving the grace of God in vain. So therefore, it is not talking about saving grace, but it is talking about his favor in his drawing near to sinners. And it says that Paul beseeches them that ye receive not the grace of God, that grace of him drawing near in the accepted time, in the day of salvation, drawing near to the sinner in grace. Paul is saying, beseech you, he says, that you receive not that grace in vain. That you do not allow Satan to so deflect and divert your life away from God's favor, that grace turns out to be vain and empty for you. That's what this is speaking about. It is always now. The call of the gospel is going out now, calling all to turn and to come to him. Calling all to come to the one that God has provided. In his grace and in his favor, he has provided a Savior, his own only begotten Son. He has given him, and Paul is beseeching these Corinthians that they receive not the grace of God's nearness, that they do not receive it in vain. You cannot lose saving grace once you have it. It is impossible to reverse conversion. It's impossible to unchristianize anybody once they're Christians. But it is possible for you to lose the favor of God towards you as a sinner, in the sense of being near you in the accepted time. And that is now. You have no guarantee at all about the future. It must be now. The time of God's grace and God's favor will pass away. And all that Satan needs to do in order to make that certain is to persuade you that there is plenty of time. To persuade you that there'll be another now tomorrow. And tomorrow and tomorrow. And the same words will apply. Now is the day of salvation. My friend, there is no guarantee of that. The loss, if you refuse, the loss is incalculable. Then we have the day of salvation. Same thing, but just perhaps a little more specific. Regarding the core matter of what we're speaking about today, the core of it all is God's salvation in Jesus Christ. And here we have the wonder of all wonders. That is no exaggeration. That is that salvation is already in place. It's not something that we have to earn or merit or work for. There is nothing for us to do in terms of saving ourselves, because the work is already done. It is already in place. The moment the Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross, "It is finished," that meant that the work was finished. And indeed, so finished is that work that if we get in endurance, well, I have to do my little bit in order to complete this. What do? We're dishonoring. We are besmirching. We are insulting the work. We are saying what he did was not quite enough. But when we say, I can do nothing, I have nothing to do anyway, I have nothing to offer, I am hopeless, helpless, but my hope is in the fact that He did all. Then what do? When we do that, we heap glory upon Him. We heap glory on His work. We say it is enough. It is perfect. It is all there for people like me with nothing to offer, with nothing but sin and guilt and inabilities. For people like me specifically, it is there finished. And I heap all glory and honor on Him, that He might be magnified, that He might be glorified. Let my whole life be about honoring and uplifting and exalting and magnifying Him. And let me be nothing, just a saved sinner, saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ. There is only one qualification. Just one entry qualification into this salvation. And that is that you're a sinner. And I hope that you say, yes, I'm a sinner, but only a little sinner. I hope that you don't say that. Because we are all great sinners. We were born into this world as sinners. We aren't sinners because we sin, but we sin because we are sinners. There are no small sinners. We are all great sinners. Even Paul looked upon himself as the chief of sinners. And I hope so do you, and I hope that I do the same, the chief of sinners. I hope you have no trouble with that. Because, you see, this is for sinners. There is nothing here for the righteous. There is nothing here for the perfectly righteous. There is nothing here for the partly righteous. There is nothing here even for those who have a little righteousness of their own, who hold on to themselves and their own goodness and will not surrender it. Because this is for sinners. Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. My friend, think about it. Christ has suffered. It is done. It is complete. He died in the place of sinners. He has done a complete work. No, let it stand alone in all its glory. Do not clot it with anything of your own righteousness. Let it stand. Let us be able to say, He did it all. He did everything for me. I did nothing. I had nothing to offer. I simply received. And I received freely, without money and without price. So what about New Year's Day, 2012? Great now is before you. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. I appeal to you. This is my appeal, not for this coming year, but for today. For today, for now. I appeal to you, I beseech you, I beg of you, I do anything for you to receive freely God's great salvation. And you receive this Christ, this wonderful Savior, God and man, two distinct natures in one person. And you receive and embrace Him. And you receive and embrace Him as your Savior. As the one who suffered in the place of sinners. As the one who bore your burden and took it all away. As your great substitute. He has done it all. My friend, let these words ring in your ears and in your heart. The significance of the present moment. Behold, now is the accepted time. The time of God's nearness in His favor towards you. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The key word is now. Let us pray. O Lord, we pray for Thy Thou knowest how we need help even to come unto Thee. Wilt Thou grant us the help of Thy Spirit, great facilitator, great helper, the one who helps our infirmities. Wilt Thou send Him and make us to be enabled to receive all that Thou art offering to us in Christ. Bless us throughout this day. Bless all our relationships. Bless us in all our gatherings. Bless us in whatever situation we are in. Bless us even in loneliness. Wilt Thou draw near in a special way. Wilt Thou grant that sweetness of Thine own presence. So remember us, Lord. Keep us and forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, Amen.